All right, welcome to a brand new episode of Drag the Lake. I'm your co-host. I'm one of your hosts, Andy Malfrino. With me, as always, the late, great Pat George. Pat, how the heck are you? You fucking relax.
Hello, Andy. It's good to see you, bro. I hope you're doing good.
Why'd you record that?
I was afraid I was going to forget it.
Oh, because you probably put a lot of... You could have bullshitted anything. That was also delightful. Thank you for doing that. I immediately went to anger.
I know you're like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Hello.
How you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
When did you record that? What the fuck was that?
This afternoon. I said, hello, Andy. It's good to see you, bro. I hope you're doing good.
You know what? It's the recording's funnier.
Okay.
The recording's funnier.
Okay, good. Yeah, because I was by myself, and I was like, you know what? This is good.
Your instincts were on point on that. So we just recorded. So this is the brand new episode. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff today. If you guys want to be up to date on the convo today, we actually recorded a pre-reaction-y episode, which if you're watching the video or listening to the audio, we'll put a link down below. In the description, you can hop over to the Drag the Lake channel where we have a lot of extra content, reaction videos, album reviews, stuff like that. Just, you know, because we like to yap. So we put all the extra yapping over on the Drag the Lake YouTube channel. And today, the one topic I want to start with is because I had a big I said this on the video before, so I won't drag my feet on this. But I've been into a lot of the heavy stuff. The big three right now are Knock Loose, Kubla Khan, and like Jesus Piece, and I needed a little bit of a switch off because everything's been so heavy and aggressive, and I switched over. I just went back to my emo power pop days back in high school, yeah. And I stumbled upon this magical song that missed me when I was younger, and it got me on this topic trying to think of what are some of the most fucking emo songs I was trying to figure out the most emo song, and we were playing Not Good Enough for Truth and Cliched by Escape the Fate. So go look that one up if you haven't heard it before. Do a quick pause, go listen to it. That again is Not Good Enough for Truth in Cliched by Escape the Fate. And yeah, because I pulled it up on my Spotify because I got really, because this is my bread and butter, dude. I know a lot about music, and talking about what's the most emo bullshit in the world, I definitely think this is my lane. So I was cultivating a fucking list this weekend, and I think I got it pretty good with a lot of good stuff. But Pat, if you started forming like the most emo fucking songs playlist, what are you throwing up there first?
I'm gonna get something off of "Sing the Sorrow" by AFI, because I feel like that's like any. Sorry, Stanley didn't like that answer. Anything with the name Sorrow in the title, I feel like is gonna be somewhat, isn't it Songs of Sorrow or Sing the Sorrow?
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, something off of there, just because I feel like as far as emo goes, like especially after seeing Escape the Fate and the bar that you set, I'm gonna have to come hard with something pretty emo. And I feel like that's where that's headed.
But I guess the conversation is like, and guys, I'll say it again. I really want you to go listen to this song. Like, it's 3 minutes. Please go listen to this song. So you got, because it covers, we talked about it already, but it covers all the bases. And I don't know if there's a more emo song than that. Now, I will say this. There are, when I was listening to it, so let me give you little hits off my list. Because my list I was sort of creating this weekend encapsulates the different areas of the most emo. Okay. Because I kind of like, so I got Escape the Fate on there. And then another one that you got to throw on there is Cute Without the E by Taking Back Sunday.
Okay.
And that is a similar feel, but it's not as spooky. They weren't doing all the like, they weren't doing all the swoopy hair. They came from a more, like a band for like Escape the Fate were more into probably like goth shit and like Marilyn Manson, but a band like Taking Back Sunday, they were probably listening to more alternative rock and shit like that, like probably Oasis and some shit. So it's like, it's similar like results, but coming from very different places, in my opinion.
Okay, so I feel like I have a pretty good I feel like I have a better grip on it now, and I think a better example. And it's a song, I had to double check the name of it. 7 Years by Seosin.
Yeah, I've heard that one before.
But it's Anthony Green Seosin. And I know he's back now. Did you know that? He's back in, he's a lead singer of Seosin again?
I know he did a thing with Circa Survive that I was severely underwhelmed with.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it was like Circa Survive, but with drum loops.
Oh, yeah. I you need a live band with that. Like, that's because I feel like that's, to me, the peak, kind of like what that is. Like, Seosin hits a lot of those, like, my lane of emo. If you're, you know what I mean? And Anthony Green, I really like his, damn it. What's that fucking, I can never pronounce the fucking, the name of the album, Circus Survive album with the balloon on it. Hold on. Let me look that up.
On Letting Go or Juturna?
Juturna. That's the one I'm thinking of.
The balloon is On Letting Go.
Okay. So no, the Juturna is the one I'm thinking of. I feel like that's the one where I'm like, that is exactly the perfect level that I liked. This is the Escape the Fate song that you played, like you said, is legitimately, I'm thinking of all these examples and some of the best ones I can think of, aside from that Taking Back Sunday song that we were talking about with the I'm gonna bleed all over the place, some of my face is gonna be bleeding.
You're So Last Summer. I guess you do bring up an interesting angle of it where, because I come from, like, the first music I got into growing up that was basically just, because we all sort of start off listening to whatever our parents listen to.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we hit that moment where we find the first thing that they don't listen to or they don't like or something like that. And so the first bit of music that I started listening to that my parents weren't listening to was like punk rock and ska. Like, I remember one of the earliest bands I listened to was Less Than Jake. And then
your parents didn't like them.
Yeah, they weren't huge Less Than Jake heads. So I come from a more like punk rock standpoint. I think that's why, like, if you look at a song like we were listening to on the bonus clip, Not Good Enough for the Truth and Cliche, that's kind of like a faster pace. Cute Without the Ease. I'm looking down the list of these songs that I have. Cute Without the Ease, a little bit of a faster pace. From Fall Out Boy's first album, Tell That Mickey Just Made My List of Things to Do. I'm Not Okay by My Chemical. I really like a fast song.
Yeah. I was gonna say, My Chemical Romance is pretty fucking emo, dude. Black Parade, that's borderline goth. But
yeah, but Black Parade, I'll say this, it's the epitome of, so how do I say this? Because I actually wanted to talk about this on one episode because I saw a bunch of people for some reason hyping up the Black Parade, and I went back and listened to it, and I go, it, in my opinion, and I'm not trying to just be a spicy son of a bitch, I'm not just trying to be a hot dog, but in my opinion, the Black Parade is probably, and I'm not saying it's a bad album, but it's probably one of the most overrated albums.
Really?
I'm saying based off hat, because the people who like the Black Parade go fucking insane for it. And like I gotta be honest, I think 50% of the album's great, and then the other 50% is very take it or leave it to me.
I think, okay, let me look at the, I want to, because it isn't this like, because I remember listening to this out, and that's the thing, is I'm not a huge My Chemical Romance fan, or necessarily not a lover necessarily of the emo genre, let's say, at a whole. So I remember loving this album, or at least thinking like, didn't it almost have like a Green Day level of hits come off of this
album? So what really helped this album too, and I'm not saying the success is solely due to Green Day, but the fuck? Do you hear that?
No.
You don't hear that?
Hear what?
Okay, wait, I gotta pause this real quick. What in the fuck is that? All right. Sorry about that, everyone. I don't know if you heard any of that, but I live in an apartment complex and they hire people to cut the grass. And I think they were cutting the grass in my living room.
Could have done it on Monday. What the fuck is wrong with them?
Yeah, what the shit, guys? You know, Mondays for grass cutting, Tuesdays for podcasting. Anyway,
Memorial Day, all gave some gave all, and they didn't give a shit about your grass. Jesus.
So we were talking about Black Parade, and so here's the thing. It's a good album, generally speaking. I'm not trying to, like, take away from it being good, but Green Day, one thing that helped it was Green Day in 04 comes out with American Idiot, and then that just, like, fucking went crazy. That was, like, the biggest shit, and that started a mini trend. It wasn't a shitload, but there was a few albums right after that that were
it was an opus trend. Everybody was putting out their opus. Everybody
were these, like, these concept rock opera type albums. Now, I will give My Chemical Romance some credit because, you know, Gerard Way is a fucking ultra weirdo comic book writing son of a bitch. So I'm sure he had these plans, but I'm more saying from a listener standpoint, there was, like, a big, you know, people were hype on the rock, like, oh, we're doing rock operas now. So I think it helped Black Parade get a lot more traction because that was kind of, like, in at the time. But
right time. Yeah.
Yeah. But what were we talking about before the grass cutting?
You were essentially saying that you were, I was surprised that you didn't think it was as amazing of an album, because I even think at least every hit that came off of that was, like, a fucking, like, I like all those songs.
So, okay, so here's my thing. I think we've talked about this before with bands where they get to a certain, they have their album that they clearly, like, called a guy, and they're like, we want our mainstream motherfucker. And I guess I technically don't know if that was the vibe, but that was the feel of it. Because if you listen to Three Cheers for Sweet Revenge, which, if I'm being honest, I went back to it. I, as an adult, I do not like it as much as I loved it as a kid. Like, I could play that album all the way through, skip over the slow song because I'm not a bitch. But, you know, listen to all the other My Chemical Romance songs because I'm a man.
Because I'm not a bitch.
Because I'm a boss boy. I'm a big boy. I'm a big boy man listening to My Chemical Romance. What was I saying? So I remember I fucked with Three Cheers for Sweet Revenge because it was that, like, fast punk but still kind of, like, gothy emo shit. And then Black Parade just sounded like if, okay, so let's hop into Black Parade and we'll look at the songs. We'll look at the end,
but it's the first song, Andy. Do you get that? Like, that's like symbolism.
Wait, what?
Yeah, the first song is called Andy. Are you there, Andy?
I wanted you to cough more.
The first song, it's pretty cool. It's like it's called The End. Sorry.
But if we look at, like, if we looked at Three Cheers for Sweet Revenge, Helena, whatever the fuck you want to call them, fast song. Give them Hell Kid. I'm pretty sure it was a fast song. One of these two is a fast song. I'm Not Okay. Fast song. Jet Set Life. Fast song. Like, lots of fast ass songs. And they're all in the same vein of, like, punk rock, emo, whatever shit. And then the end is like, here's a piano and
here comes the crescendo. I'm like, a parade.
Oh, okay. You guys fucking paid a dude who writes fucking musicals to help you out. Okay. Yeah. And then, like, Dead is. So here was my thing is, there's a lot of good songs. Like, I'll give props. Like, The End is a good intro, which, once again, first song called The End, fucking nuts. Just realized that now. Holy F and S. Dead. Good ass song. Welcome to the Black Parade. Fucking amazing. I Don't Love You is actually, like, a decent song. House of Wolves is good. Even that one, though. That one's the one that starts off with we're dead guys. Like,
I'm gonna cut you with glass.
And then another song that's really fucking good, but it's still, like, teenagers. Yeah. They say that teenagers scared. They're out of me. You're like, okay. No, whoever you guys hired wrote a great fucking album for you guys.
Right.
Like that's my thing about the Black Parade is it's like, it's a good album. Whoever the fuck wrote it for them. They did a really good job.
Yeah. Yeah. And they performed the hell out of it. They would make, yeah. They're a wonderful studio band and he's an incredible frontman.
They were the best band to hire for the job.
Perfect. It was perfect. It's almost like, okay, so get this though, right? So Andy, I know that's a critique in your mind, but Meatloaf, didn't he have like the most success when he paired up with a specific writer producer that like wrote every single song that you know that Meatloaf has done was written by somebody else, and they just said like, here, Meatloaf, sing the fuck out of this, and he's like,
I will. And like, Meatloaf, I need you to sing this like we're gonna be afraid you're fucking gonna die at the end of it.
He's like, I will. Eventually, I will. But so when it comes to My Chemical Romance, Andy, you're a Ricky Bobby. You want to go fast. I understand. Yeah. But
no, here's my thing.
Just scare the living shit out of me.
Like, man, to be fair, they weren't wrong.
Like, scare the living shit out of me. It's a fucking country song. It's basically Garth Brooks.
That's my fucking thing.
That's crazy. I never even thought of it. I love Garth Brooks. I love Garth Brooks. But
that's the point I've been trying to make about My Chemical Romance.
They're like, Garth Brooks.
They're basically emo Garth Brooks. And there's precedent on how My Chemical Romance sounds, because let us not forget, they had an album right before Three Cheers. It was called I Brought You My Bullets, You Brought Me Your Love, and it had a very similar feel to Three Cheers for Sweet Revenge. So there was a precedent for what their general sound was. And when you hear Black Parade, it's clearly like, yo, they were looking around. They're like, hey, fellas, are you trying to make $1 million?
You guys like money?
You guys want to make a bajillion fucking dollars?
Teenager scared. Dude, okay. That is crazy. People out there, I know my mind's blown, but people out there are probably like, My Chemical Romance is emo Garth Brooks. Dude, I found the connection. How many years ago was Chris Gaines an attempt by Garth Brooks to go into the emo realm? And then he goes, but everybody goes, how could Garth Brooks fail at something? He kind of is like, really, as far as entertainment, he is an incredible musician and entertainer. But years later, an opportunity presents itself. I bet Garth Brooks, aka Chris Gaines, actually is the writer producer for Black Parade.
You think he wrote Black Parade?
Dude. The teenager scared. I like friends in the place. Like, it's the same fucking thing. It's Chris Gaines.
Damn, dude, we cracked the code on this.
Whoa,
My Chemical Romance, secret country band.
That's
damn, dude.
That's so funny.
That's why you gotta listen to the pod, guys. No one's seeing the shit. We see it, bro.
Fucking see you, bitch.
We're the only fucking My Chemical Romance truthers willing to say the real shit.
We got you, Chris Gaines, you son of a bitch.
let's hop into, there was something you wanted to talk about. You had an interesting interesting topic. I really wanted to get into it.
Speaking of you son of a bitch, I was on my way to, I believe it was Jesus Peace, actually, when we were there in Philly together with Lemaire and some other family members of ours. I was listening to, out of nowhere, because I know when I see you, you're going to be like, hey, what are you listening to, pal? Hey, what were you tuning out and what were you rocking out to on the way here, huh? And I just had a fucking inkling out of nowhere, like, I wonder if there's any new Austrian death machine.
Let them know what that is. Austin, I feel there's definitely a, because that was like a fun thing when we were in high school. But I got to imagine there's a good chunk of people now that are like, the fuck did you just say?
It was a gimmick band. It was from the lead singer of As They Lay Dying, or former lead singer, let's just say, Tim Lambesis.
Wait. That was the former lead singer of As I Lay Dying?
Yeah, the guy.
Here's a really important question. How does the breakup of Austrian Death Machine time up with him putting a hit out on his wife? Maybe that was the only thing keeping the marriage together.
I think that's what it was. It's essentially his like, he couldn't find enough side projects to where he was even saying like, what if I just do an Arnold voice and do crazy metal songs?
Or
just his song, his movies.
And then his wife was just like, that's fucking stupid.
And he's like, okay, bitch, I'm going to go to the bar real quick. I love Jesus, by the way. I love Jesus. I'm going to go to the bar real quick.
You don't think that's a cool idea?
Yeah.
I'll keep that back here. Maybe I hire someone.
I could have fucking swore. Who was watching Predator with me last night on the couch? Who was that? Because I could have swore it was you.
That's interesting information. You don't think that's a good idea? Maybe I hire a guy to let you know how I feel about how you feel.
Yeah. How about I see you lie dying? How about that?
If anyone doesn't know, the former lead singer of As I Lay Dying hired a guy to kill his wife.
Andy?
Didn't actually kill him.
No, he attempted to hire a police officer that was undercover to kill his wife.
Ah, dickhead. Ah, you fucking suck at killing your wife.
But he's out, and there is new Austrian Death Machine. So this brought up a topic that I think is important to cover, because it's not only a genre I want to distinguish, but it's also a topic that I really want to cover with you. Gimmick bands that are better than they should be. And this is usually in the metal realm. I'll give you a couple examples. Obviously, Austrian Death Machine, which is Tim Lambesis doing an art, a very good, by the way, very solid Arnold Schwarzenegger impression, excuse me, over some awesome, pretty generic sounding metalcore music.
Sorry. Super ADD. I just discovered a gimmick band today. Oh my God.
Perfect.
Go on.
Okay. Yeah. So there's another.
That was the other thing I wanted to bring up to you.
Oh, awesome. That's even better. So there's another example that I would.
What a great day.
Have you ever heard of the band Oakley Dokley?
Yes, I have.
Oakley Dokley is a pretty fucking awesome metal band. That is the dudes that all dress up like Ned Flanders, and the songs are themed after Ned Flanders quotes from The Simpsons. So, and they're both gimmick bands that are way too fucking amazing than they should be. They don't have to be that amazing.
Wait, are they like on Spotify?
Yeah. Oakley Dokley is available to listen to. They fucking rule.
They fucking rule. What do they sound like?
It's hard to say because it's a gimmick band. So if you say like "Drop for a Cowboy," it's like "Drop for a Cowboy" if they were Ned Flanders.
Drop for a Cowboy if they wrote a bunch of songs about Ned Flanders.
Yeah, it's like it's kind of in that. Not I wouldn't say it sounds like "Drop for a Cowboy," but reminds me of in that vein.
Okay.
But also,
I'm like, still listening. I mean, I'm just trying to find this fucking band I found today.
So another version, and this is not in the metal genre, and I wonder if you'd help me, does this count? Is Weird Al a gimmick band? I mean, he's like 100% gimmick band, right? And this is my theory, or this is my base for what I think a gimmick band would be, the genre at least, is a band that takes like an existing property and kind of themes their music around that. And that's Arnold Schwarzenegger movies / impression. That's Ned Flanders dressing up, you know, cosplay, as well as the subject matter and quotes from shows. Weird Al got famous from existing songs being mocked or turned into other versions of cover. Not just cover songs, but like parody songs.
You know what? I think he does count as a gimmick band because, let me say, so I believe, let me know if you agree or disagree, I believe what constitutes a quote-unquote gimmick, now Weird Al has evolved over time and become deeper ingrained in our hearts, but which sidebar, point of pride and shout out to my pops, but first concert was Weird Al.
Ooh, that's a good one.
That's a good first concert, right?
That's a great first show, dude.
Yeah, bro. And I gotta say this: if you guys are thinking about it, go see Weird Al.
Yeah,
and I'm not even one of these guys who don't get me wrong, Weird Al has made me laugh all throughout time, but at the same time, I'm not even one of these people who like, and it's all good all the time. It's genuinely good. And you're like, it's okay. It's fun because of our childhoods. Yeah. If I was 33 when Weird Al came out, I'd be like, yeah, have fun with that, kids. but I'm just being honest. I love Weird Al to death, but if I'm not, I hate these people. That's a whole other rant.
I give you the shivers, huh?
No, it's this fucking thing where people are so proud to be like, I actually only consume things for children. I don't know if you know this, but I only like kids things. And you're like, that's not a brag. You're like, your development is stunted. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
That's not, you shouldn't be proud of that. It's kind of like how I've gone most of my life not knowing my blood type. You know what I mean? Like I shouldn't be that proud. I still don't know what my blood type is.
Yo, I'm gonna get your back on that, dude. Gun to the head. I wouldn't know it. I'd be guessing.
I think I'm the best one. I think I'm the one that everybody wants. I think that's
To be fair though, how many times have people been like, Pat, what's your blood type? And you needed to answer it.
Right. Like zero times I needed to know.
It's on a piece of paper somewhere that they can fucking look up.
That's gotta be. Why isn't that on your social security card? Like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? Like, why can't I? I should be able to memorize it with like, I'm O positive. My social security number is not gonna do it.
You were gonna go fucking wait. How many?
I was gonna try to give an example.
You were gonna say all nine.
I was gonna go like 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like something like that. But I was gonna be like, I'm probably gonna accidentally say my real one, and I don't want to do that.
Wish I had my license. I wanted to figure out what level you were on because I can't remember. This is my gauge on if you're cool or not. Did you put organ donor or not?
I don't think I did. Actually, I don't.
Yeah, exactly. Because you're afraid of the government, like I am, Pat.
Yeah. Why would I want somebody? Why would I want to offer that? Like to say, like, yeah. By the way, yeah. Just take whatever you need. Like, I mean, once I'm dead, I don't care what happens. So you don't you don't have to respect my wishes anyway, you dumbass.
Well,
so,
why
would I put it on there?
I will say this, though, because I think the fear is that they're going to see it on there and they're going to be like, hold up, we need a spleen. Don't resuscitate this guy.
Right.
But the EMTs, they don't know what the doctors need. It's not like they have, unless they have a list, unless they have a fucking these are the organs we need list that they keep like hidden in the back.
If you can prove to me that there isn't a list in every ambulance out there that says, like, by the way, these are what the local hospitals are looking for right now. You know what I mean? Like, they're like,
yeah.
I mean, he's not going to want to walk around with one leg. So, like, but yeah, gimmick bands. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. We're both a part of that.
Figure out the band that you found.
Yeah. I remembered who it was, and this band is called 86th.
Okay.
And they are a hardcore band based around food. And this was the this was the video I saw today.
It's in the kitchen before. Fuck.
Oh yeah, I saw this too.
I will pray.
For people just listening to audio, sorry if that's really loud. The guy goes, I will break every dish in the sink.
And they're also on stage. They have like aprons on. They also make grilled cheese.
Wait, say that again?
They also have aprons on. There's like tickets. There's like tips and stuff like that. It looks like on the ground. But there's also later on, don't they make like grilled cheese and shit like that?
Yeah, yeah.
Take this fucking job seriously or something?
Yeah, it looks like they play their set like it's like it's a fucking shift. Like it's a fucking shift in the restaurant.
Yeah, who likes grilled cheese sandwiches?
Like legitimately right now making grilled cheese on the little, it looks like a little hot plate or like a foreman or something. I love this, by the way, this breakdown.
What?
This breakdown right here, this is one of my favorite. Play this all the way through the end.
Hey, you guys want to go to the
It's that? Just like that is...
I give them props on the attention to detail. It was like, fuck, it fucking hit. They had the bass drop in there. Let's give them a little plug, Grooski, their debut EP, Knuckle Sandwich. That's fun. And it looked like they said, yeah, Washing Dishes is a new single out. But that, and I used to be the guy who, if I saw something like that, I'd be like, that's fun, but like, what the fuck are you really going to do with it? And then as a wrestling fan, are you're familiar with Orange Cassidy?
Yes. Yep.
So Orange Cassidy is like the greatest example of how you can take a gimmick and shift it into something legitimate. Like all you have to do is just believe in yourself. And you can, and not just confine yourself to like one bit, because Orange Cassidy, for anyone who doesn't know, he's currently he's one of their champs. He's so over really? in eight. Yeah, he retained the belt on fucking Sunday. He's one of their champs, but so his thing was it still is his thing, but it was like it was way more specific back in the indies and shit. Now he's sort of broadened it a little bit, and he would come out, he'd be really like out of it, lethargic, and just being like super cool guy. Yeah. And he would do all these like lazy moves where he'd like barely hit you and all this other stuff. And then the other wrestler he'd keep his hands in his pockets the most time. Yeah, he would like give the thumbs up, but barely.
Yeah, that's my favorite. Yeah.
Yeah, all this like out of it shit. But then the fun part would be eventually the other wrestler would get frustrated and then really start laying into him. And then that's when he would turn it up and actually beat the guy. And you see him in AEW and he sort of broaden his character. I mean, and he's a amazing definition of how you go from just being, I'm not going to say one trick pony, but a very hyper specific gimmick, and turned it into like he's just one of the guys on AEW now.
Yeah, I think there's another guy who is, I think, still in the indies. He might have had a couple matches with with AEW, I think. But and shout out to John Montag. He's the one that pointed it out to us when I was doing a False Count Anywhere, that podcast. But Dan the Dad is somebody who that gimmick has been. Is something that I feel like it has that exact same potential. Do you know what I mean? Like, but also it reminds me so much of the Ned Flanders character essentially, but it's just a dude who's just like a solid dad who's got a mustache or who comes out with like a coffee mug. And it always kind of reminds me of like Orange Cassidy, who would do like these crazy, he would do like some of the he'd do like moves and shit like that, but he'd have his hands in his pocket and shit like that.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I'm sorry, I'm pulling up a video that's really funny. Dan the Dad.
Yeah. He like there were certain things like so every like stereo, you know, he comes out in New Balance, he comes out in like short shorts.
Yeah.
He's got the
hat and the high socks and mug and stuff.
There's like as far as like newer gimmick things, him and a couple other people that like it's like a weird, like kind of very specific, but also still, like you said, very broad character that has, I think, a lot of potential for storylines. And it's also the guy himself is actually really funny.
And if I can go, cause you got me thinking about wrestling now, cause a lot of wrestling purists get mad about stuff like that. And they always go back to the day of kayfabe, which if you don't know, kayfabe is basically acting like everything they're doing in the ring is real. Right. And just like living the character and stuff like that. And I remember I was hearing like Jim Cornette bitch about kayfabe and stuff like that. And it got me thinking about more where I was like, because I got this book. It was actually really cool. It's in the living room. I was going to get it. I got my dad got it for me for Christmas one year. It's a comic book. So it's like, but it's the history of wrestling, and essentially the short version of how wrestling got developed was they had fights and they had fights at like carnivals and shit, and they were like, oh, these can be boring and suck sometimes. You guys want to rig them?
Yeah.
So first off, like, a lot of those wrestling purists can, you guys can calm the fuck down, because your whole business got created out of lying to people to get more money out of them. So get out of here with like all that like purist bullshit. It literally started from just being like, damn, we got to get more people out here. You know what we should do? Lie about the show.
Right. Yeah. We should charge them for predetermined matches. Cause it takes out the,
there was no nudge and wink.
The tough factor, because again, they would still fight, right? They would still, but then they'd start, then they actually learned after a while, like, oh, we can pull punches. We don't actually
they had to actually know how to fight, because you would have dudes working for the companies who would be, so you would have new guys come in, and so you could trust that they would do the job for you. You would have like a super tough guy in your company, so they'd be intimidated that to not fuck up. So you could rely on that guy to be like, if this guy starts acting up, you can fucking handle him. But what was I saying? Oh yeah, no, it's just like the more I remember, and then wrestling develops, and then it becomes this thing where like, if you know it's not real. But the average person's not really hip to the fact that it's all pre-planned. I'm not gonna say fake, because you know, watch Mick Foley try to walk. It's not fake. I will, you know, it's like, because it's, if you're not like reading the dirt sheets, you're not, there was a time where you're not really hip to the fact that it's pre-planned and stuff. But then even in that, it's like your whole thing's still based off just lying. So yeah, like, just like, you're a bunch of lying carny drug addicts. Get your head out of your ass and stop being so fucking pretentious. Like,
even if it's real, honest, to you, damn it.
and don't get me wrong, some of that indie gimmick shit is fucking stupid. But at the same time, it's no more stupid than fucking trying to convince people that this is 100% real. I don't know. Anyway, that's my wrestling rant. Do you have any other?
No, I was going to say that's what I was going to say. But in the fact that, like, when you go to see a normal band, like any band or anything like that, there is still a little bit of like, there is that, like, you got to understand, like, some of it's real, some of it you got to like, are you excited to be here? Let me hear you. Like, if somebody asks you that normally, I go like, yeah, I'm really excited. This is going to be fun. You know what I mean? But what they want out of you is you to be like, I'm so fucking excited. So you gotta give them a little bit. They give you a little bit. It's the gimmick. So the gimmick of like, of having, we're gonna be doing these songs, we're gonna be doing these things, like just come with us on this thing. Like, when it's like an Aquabats, I don't even know, would Aquabats count in that case then?
Yeah.
Because
they're not as deliberate as Oakley Doakley or whatever, but they're definitely, well, wait, the Aquabats is like, literally, we are these guys that came from outer space or something. Yeah,
they're
right?
Building their own world. That's what I'm saying, is like, I don't know if that counts, because like Gwar, Aquabats, stuff like that, they're kind of people that are building their own worlds. They're not taking a thing and just adapting it to their band. They're creating a whole thing. That's a clarification, maybe. You know what I mean?
Well, that's a really fair point, because it's like, I think you start out as a gimmick, because, you know, obviously, if you look at a band like Gwar, like, going on stage wearing giant space alien monster outfits,
hard,
like,
not to call that a gimmick.
It's a gimmick. but you know what I mean? And then with the Aquabats, like, you're all dressed, I don't even know what the fuck they're dressed like, but they're all calling themselves superheroes or something like that.
Yeah.
That's a gimmick too. But I think the name of the game is, you know, it's similar to other bands where it's like, you start a band for like impulsive reasons. You're like, oh, band would be fun. Some people are just being more silly about it than others. And then it's like, it's your job to kind of, I don't know, let it evolve and become a little more multidimensional.
Maybe the gimmick band.
Or multi-layered. not multi-dimensional.
Yeah. No, I think that's the thing, is like maybe the gimmick band is just asking you to give them that little bit more of buying in. You know what I mean? Like I was just saying, like a normal band will ask you to be like, let me hear you fucking Ohio. Yeah, motherfuckers. But like this band is asking you not only to give them that, but also be like, love me for the fact that I'm wearing like bright green spandex and I just beat a styrofoam villain. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Like it's a weird, it's like, it's cool because I feel like it's taking a really cool art or a thing that I already love, like a genre of music, like Austrian Death Machine or Oakley Doakley, like in the metal type, and being like, also let's make it fucking silly. And that's the thing where I'm like, I love a gimmick like that where it's just like, I think comedy makes everything better. So I feel like in this case, like if you take, it's like, it's doing it in such a silly way to be like, yeah, get to the chopper. You know what I mean? Machine rips.
Two things. Please. I actually, maybe it's because I'm three seltzers deep and we're talking about gimmicks this whole time. But I will say no, because I'm kind of thinking about like, because gimmick bands kind of are easier to make fun of. Like you just look at, like I'll pull up a picture of the Aquabats. You know what I mean? Like it's not. It's like if you guys watch the video, look at these guys. It's not. It's easy to make fun of the Aquabats. Yeah. But then, you know, you kind of. Then you learn about a lot of these other bands. It's like, there's a lot of bands out there that are gimmick bands, but they don't want you to know they're gimmick bands. Like
right.
I would make an argument like, fuck, I was going to say the Sex Pistols, which I do, but now I'm also thinking like the Ramones are a gimmick band.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Guys, spoiler alert. They're not all named something Ramone. And literally, no, literally, I think it was, I think it was Joey, their guitarist. He would, like, he made a point when they first started. They're like, no, this is how we cut our hair. It, dude, the Ramones story is so fucking funny because they're held up. And I think I've said this point before. There's a reason that the most popular bands are the bands with T-shirts and Target. But, like, I think a big part of the Ramones legacy is, and let me make it very clear. I love the Ramones. But I think a huge part of their legacy is they had a much better marketing department and shit like that. Wait, what fucking point was I making with that? But no, they were honestly, it's just ironic that they're held up as one of the biggest punk bands of all time because they went about it in such an unpunk. The only punk thing about them was that they played their songs too fast and bad. It was like the only punk thing about the fucking Ramones.
I think that the fact that they always had to wear jeans, always had to wear leather jackets, like you said, had to cut their hair.
Like there was a uniform. They were like, yo, this is the uniform.
Yeah. That's a really good point because so much like a lot of our discussions about genres in general, it's a spectrum. It comes down to where like they're the lower end where you're like, yeah, they're asking you to have them come out and be like, oh, my favorite Ramon is this one. My favorite. It's this whole thing. They get like, what are you doing? Sex Pistols are literally just a fucking punk boy band.
That's what I was going to bring up with the Sex Pistols where like their fucking bassist didn't know how to play the bass.
But then you have a band. I don't think they can be a national touring band, but there's a local band around here. I don't know if you've ever seen flyers for them. But have you ever heard of Mac Sabbath?
Mac Sabbath
is taking the gimmick label and just beating you over the head with it. They're McDonald's characters. So there's Ronald McDonald's as the lead singer. Grimace is the bass player, I believe. Hamburglar might be the drummer, I think. I can't remember. They're fucking sick looking, right?
But I honestly respect it.
Right? it's like they're that's
how the fuck does Grimace play that bass?
I mean, it's Black Sabbath bass, so it's not like it's not the most involved. And I'm not saying that to say to
you can't play that shit with a glove.
It's not Trivium, you know what I mean? Like I'm sure
This is a little bit of a side quest on your original topic, but you just reminded me there was a really, and we've talked about it before. I'm not trying to be a cool guy. I don't care about the Beatles. They don't like do it for me like that, but I respect them for, you know, how big they were and shit. But they got to a certain point where they just stopped playing because the fucking audience was too loud. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Technology didn't catch up to how loud those fucking girls were when they saw them. So it got really hard for the Beatles to play live. So there was a shitload of album, not a shitload, but there was like a bunch of albums at the end that didn't really get played live. And like, if you listen to some of that shit, like you need to do it in a quiet setting. So there's this band. And then on top of that, like a lot of those albums are very like overly produced and shit. I forget the name. I think they were called the Fab Foe or something like that. They came to my high school. I didn't actually see them, but someone was telling me about them, and their whole thing was, we try to play the songs to make them sound exactly like the album. And I was like, that's real. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I think that's pretty cool. Yeah, I think it's cool to have that insight of like saying like, these are some songs that weren't played live because of those stupid loud assholes that couldn't get shut up.
The loud bitches.
Like, honestly, dude, I have never understood that fanatic level of fanaticism to say, like, I see a person fucking 30 yards away. Like, you know what I mean? They're fucking two clicks east, and I'm seeing them, and I'm just going to go, and just run full force to them. Like, I don't understand that at all. But
yeah, it's
crazy that's such an issue with them that they were like, we have to not play live shows because these bitches won't shut the fuck up and let us fucking play.
There's something that happens. I saw it firsthand. I took my nieces, who were like 12 and 15 at the time. Maybe they're like 13 and 6. They're in that general age range. I took them to go see, you know, 5 Seconds of Summer. They're kind of like One Direction, but they like play their instruments and shit. Yeah. So it's more band oriented music than it is like boy band oriented music. But they loved 5 Seconds of Summer. They were playing near their house, and I had a good job at the time. And I was like, let me be Daddy Warbucks, and let me hook up my nieces. And bro, there's no louder noise. Like, I remember I was watching the Waco documentary, and like when they were trying to torture the Branch Davidians in Waco, they would play the noise of people like slaughtering sheep, and I gotta be honest, I would take that any day of the week over these teen and tween girls screeching.
Crazy, dude. It's crazy.
It's because I had, you know me, I come prepared. I've played in a lot of bands and marching band and stuff. My ears have gone through it. I come prepared to these shows. I put earplugs in and shit like that. Dude, my head was hurting even with the earplugs in. These girls were shrieking so loud. So I say this to get to the point of there. I think something happens when young to like preteen to teen to like early 20 girls, when they see a fucking band they like. And it, cause you, dude, did you ever watch any of those? There's been a lot of the like Backstreet Boys, NSYNC boy band documentaries where they'll just like run up to the car and then start banging on the window. And it's like, girls, what's the end plan? Are you just going to kill them? Like, this literally looks like a scene out of Dawn of the Dead, the way you're fucking hitting the car.
And that's what I'm saying. It's like, it's always so funny because I'm going to sound like I'm on a Fox News correspondent right now, and I don't mind it. I don't give a shit. I want to lean into it, Andy. I want you to tell me something. It's totally okay right now that like, he's just being typical boy. He's just acting like a boy. It's okay to criticize a boy for like being destructive or being crazy or being whatever. And honestly, for the most part, boys are like, yeah, whatever. Like, it's, I never took it personally because, yeah, it was kind of crazy. But like, dude, I swear to God, man, if you asked, if you just, while that was happening, if in that time, NSYNC, let's just say now it's 5 Seconds of Summer or whatever it is, whatever the new hot fucking Taylor fucking Swift, dude. If there's like this legion of crazy screaming 12-year-olds and you just pull one of them aside and you just go like, hey, what, why are you screaming like that? Like, they would feel so attacked and so judged. And so, but like, I legitimately want to know, what are you feeling right now that you have the urge to shriek? And if they were in, let's say, 10 feet of you, you would dive at them. You yeah, would dive at them and you would try again. Like you said, what is your plan? What are you feeling? What's happening to you? And yeah. Why are you doing this?
So let's continue this two dudes breaking down female hormones. No, but for real though, it's a fair point. It's a fair point because I feel like it happens. Like I'm trying to think. Well, you know what it is too? I think society, this is what I'm jealous of girls about, is like they're like societally, we allow women more leeway of like when you want to do those big emotions, we allow more like leeway of it. Like I saw like what the fuck was it? There was this video of this like fucking dude. I don't know if you saw it going around on Twitter or whatever, but I think the Laker, like it's the NBA playoffs right now, and I think the Lakers won a game, and there was this like grown man. Excuse me. There was this grown man and people kept making jokes that he put a lot of money on the game, which I think that's super reasonable. But he was like on his knees in front of the TV, like rocking. And he was making these weird, like half squeals, but not like out loud. Like he was making these noises that were like slipped out because you watch the video and you go, oh, this man, like society has suppressed his ability to show genuine joy.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He's so happy. And I'll back up, you know, you're a sports fan. You love the fucking Thunder, right?
The Lightning.
Lightning.
I'm the Thunder, Andy.
Tomato, tomato. But no, it's like you're a sports. I'm becoming a sports guy. Like fucking, bro, I saw a fucking video of Jalen Hurts throwing a perfect spiral. It moved a little bit. Like I'm a sports. I'm becoming more of a sports guy. I will back up any dude loving a fucking game. The end results of a fucking game. But like you saw it in this guy where it was just like, oh, society has not let him express genuine joy, and he does not know how to be this happy. And on top of that, his girl sharing the video being like, yo, look at this pussy.
Right. Yeah. And that's what. Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. It's like, I laugh at Dominique all the time when she cries. We were watching Captain Phillips yesterday and she started crying at the end. And I was just like,
but I think it is like girls being dumb, but I think as a society, we allow girls to be dumb like that more than we allow boys.
Right. We consider their emotions dumb, but they were way more emotionally they're emotionally responsible in so many different ways. We don't really take that one from them. But like when a bunch of guys see something, obviously they get very excited and they jump around. It's very communal and there's a lot of shouting and stuff like that. But like the shrieking and the tackling and the, it's crazy. That's what I'm just saying. You're right. There's a lot of leeway given. I don't mind the double standard. I'm just saying there's one.
I got to be honest. I mind it sometimes because I watch my wife. I love her to death. She's the most perfect lady ever to exist. But she's a wonderful woman. But sometimes I just watch her and I'm like, man, you just get to be like fucking, you just get to fucking say everything you feel out loud.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I can't. You'll pussy, you'll be dry forever if I say some of the things I want to say in certain moments.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? It's just like, I just can't. And it's like, this is why you podcast.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
you say how you feel and you go, I was drinking. I was just kidding. But yeah. you know you meant
Which is cutting it up with the boys. I was shouting into the void.
I was drinking my wife's seltzers. I can't be held right. responsible.
Right. Isn't that weird? Is somebody would want to cut you with glass?
that is an annoying thing about being a dude is you have to go like, I'm doing this right. Like you can't be like, I like this.
Yeah.
I like to do this.
Yeah. Unironically liking something is really kind of, and it's weird.
The only way to exist as a dude to just be like, I don't actually like things.
Yeah, fucking things are stupid, aren't they? Like fucking hobbies. What a
yeah. This got real. But anyway, so Yokely Dokely is a good band.
Yeah, are you guys like gimmick bands or what?
Yeah, let's
pound off on the comments.
While I pound off on my heart. Let's take a quick pause. It'll be because I have to tinkle, but it'll be 2 seconds for you guys. We'll be right back. All right, Pat. I wanted to show you this video. Actually, oh shit, dude. You know what else happened?
What happened?
You know who showed up? You remember we were talking about Drain?
We were talking about Drain.
You know who listens to Drain?
Ooh. Andy, who?
I didn't.
Andy, stop making me wait. Tell me who.
I didn't pull it up before I brought it up.
Andy, who listens to Drain?
Fuck. Someone does,
Andy,
dude.
Andy, stop making me wait. Who?
Give me a few more seconds, because I should have done this before I brought the topic up.
Was I actually supposed to guess? Who's this?
Post Malone.
Oh, shit. I was going to say, is that Chino Vera?
But yeah, Post Malone was at the Drain show recently.
Well, well, well. Is this another Billy Irish? Irish.
Billy well, Irish no. Situation? So here's the thing. I'm very curious if Post Malone's going to venture over into like more legitimate like rock or punk sounding stuff, because there have been moments where let me try to pull up something like let's not pull it up. It might fucking the algorithm might be fucking extra fancy on this one. But no, there's been moments where Post Malone is actually like legitimately throwing out like screams and growls. Like I don't know what song he's written that would warrant that, but he's doing it regardless, and he's literally like throwing out like in the middle of fucking song. So it's like, yo, maybe Posty's listening to some fucking hardcore.
Yeah, I mean, he also plays guitar, right?
Yeah,
he plays rock music sometimes. I just think it's more if he was, do you think that he is a fan of Drain? Or Drain is like, hey, let's get this picture with Post Malone so we can, you know what I mean? Like,
well, so like the show he's at is literally a small, like I watched video from the show. It's like a small, I swear to God, it looked like it was outside a fucking like taco stand. Like
so it's not like a festival or some shit where
no. It was like a super small local hardcore show.
Yeah, so maybe there is actual like, or maybe a maybe because he produces too, right? Doesn't Post Malone produce?
Maybe. Well, actually, Drain.
Collab.
Drain did have a rapper on their most recent album.
Oh shit, that would be cool—a fucking feature on a Drain song.
That'd be fucking nuts, Post Malone is one of those dudes. And I say this with all due respect, I could take or leave any song he's ever written. Yeah. And I'm not trying to be a dick. I'm just trying to be honest.
I'll be honest with you. I don't think I could name one. I'm sure I've heard them and I'm familiar with a Post Malone song, but, same deal. Hey, do your thing, bud. You know what I mean? Have some fun out there.
Actually, he did that one for the Spider-Man movie. That was pretty good. Sunflower. But even then, I was like, they're all super, super top tier fine.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I would kill to fucking hit up a bar with him. He seems like a lovely young man.
Speaking of rock bands with rappers, there is a very interesting video I saw recently online of Linkin Park, and they were doing
I would love for you to be like, by the way, why did they stop touring? What happened?
Well, no, this is, I don't think they did, because this was a performance where they were like, so they were like, it's like probably a 2-minute video, and it's of doesn't even matter, right? So it's like, doesn't matter how hard you try, and it builds up to and they're playing the song,
yeah, and the whole audience out, sings,
and the whole audience is singing what's his face's part, and and it's for like a minute and a half of this 2-minute video is just the crowd singing this part, and I'm like, guys, I, to be honest with you, I don't think he ever even needed the other guy. Why don't we switch this to have the audience go sa-ba-da-ba-ba-ba, and then we'll also have like just continue to tour and have the crowd sing the fucking,
but then that becomes reverse. That becomes a chicken and an egg, Pat. If the guys never sang the part, then why, what would the audience be singing?
He's just an MC just to be like, hey guys, do the singing part, and then he's just standing on stage like, and it's just like, wait a minute.
No, I don't.
What was
I
that
don't,
guy doing anyway?
I don't think they. I don't.
You know
think
what? Two
like,
singers says to me, Andy. Two singers in a band tells me that you weren't able to fire one of your singers.
Well, here's the thing: they don't have two singers, Pat. They had a singer and they had a rapper,
and now they have
just a rapper. His name was secretly Dave, or no.
Oh yeah, Dave definitely accidentally killed himself.
But oh, I remember the other thing I wanted to show you, because I felt like you'd get all hot and bothered over this. I watched this. I was like, oh, I can just hear things Pat's gonna yell.
Do
you know the band Royal Blood?
Yes, I am familiar with them.
So I guess they did a performance recently. I got to give props. Can't see the fucking thing. I got to give props again to the drummer from Stray from the Path, because he's got a good Twitter, and he keeps me hip to things happening. But do you hear that?
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess the Royal Blood was playing at BBC One. Shit, is this gonna get got? This might get got. You know what? I'll just let you know. So I'll just let you know what he was saying. So he was kind of like going on the mic. He's just like, hi. He's like, we're Royal Blood. This is called rock and roll music. I know you haven't heard a lot of that here today. And he was like kind of saying like shit like that. And he was just being, smarmy in between songs and shit like that. And then the big, he said like, oh, thanks for the 9 people clapping, because you got to have someone or whatever. And it's like, if you listen to the clip, it's like a bunch of people are clapping and stuff. What I mean? They're not being. Oh, and then this was the icing on the cake. This is how they left the show. So they just kind of like super fucking over it. Jeez. And then just boom, double birds.
Damn.
For people listening, just walking off double birds.
Oh, and I bet he, you know what, Andy? I'm going to also bet that he probably wishes he wore a slightly longer t-shirt, because he had a little bit of his tum-tum hate.
And, dude, I'm so, wait, what else happened?
All right, the drummer tattoos here.
The drummer's being a little bit of a, I love how they're a British band, but their drummer looks like Turtle from Entourage.
Yeah, what the fuck, dude?
this is
rock stars nowadays. Like, Jesus Christ, they still haven't gotten their stuff together a little bit.
Yeah, sorry. Dude, there used to be. Now Louis C.K. has that great joke where it's like, yo, rock stars used to be hot, like all of them.
Who is this? These are fucking. One of them looks like they're not even like. At least Black Keys were like too scrawny. They were very niche dorks. That like certain women would definitely want to fuck. But like these guys are like, that guy's like, that guy looks like a guy that a friend of mine that died back in Florida that I met. He used to raise snakes and sell them on the internet. You know what I mean? Like, he was like, always have that titty meat hanging out of his.
Well, I've never believed the story more.
Ironically, his name was also Patrick.
was snake selling Pat.
But then the other guy with his little tum tum hanging out, giving the double birds. And by the way, that's not even how British people flick people off. They do it this way.
Oh wait, with the tum tum hanging out. I'm glad you pointed that out because that really aids. It really helps. Tear down a conspiracy about tum tums hanging out that have been really plaguing the fat community. Is everyone's always just like, oh, if you're too fat for a shirt, put your hands above your head. And I go, no. It goes over the belly for almost everyone.
Yeah.
That's not just fat boys.
Yeah.
It's everyone. Everyone, if you put your hands up all the way above your head, you're going to get a little tummy coming out. It's just when you're a fat boy, it's funnier looking.
It started with the band Against Me, where guys that were way too fat for the shirts they were wearing would just constantly show their bellies, and it was somehow hot to women, and it made me so confused, because it's like when mine does it, they're like, get it off of me. It's like, but you're right. So
yeah. I just wanted to talk because I'm really. I feel like I should have looked a little bit more into the details of this, because the first thing that comes to mind is like, you didn't have to do the show.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Because it's also a festival, right? Wasn't that it was a BBC festival thing?
BBC One. You know, yeah, it's like it's this weird, I'd be very curious to see what it is. And don't get me wrong, like I've had minor successes in comedy and things like that, and I've definitely, there are certain things, like okay, like perfect example, like I remember when I was still new, getting on Real Ass Podcast or getting on a Gas Digital show was like, holy fucking shit.
Yeah.
Now I still love doing it. It still gets me super excited, but it's more just, now it's just a fun day. It's not holy fucking shit. But I'm still like appreciative of it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This is an interesting thing where it's like, you guys are doing a thing that 99.9% of all musicians would fucking kill, and you could not be any more over it. And I'm like, it's always an interesting thing where it kind of reminds me of like people who, you know, cause like everyone kind of like knee jerk shits on rich people, but there's always this weird part of it where it's like, but you want to be rich, dude. Like, yeah. I know you do. I know you want to be rich.
Well,
so it's like, oh, you're just you're just hating or whatever. I don't know. I'm rambling, Pat. What do you think about this whole thing?
I think that Royal Blood is a band that like, I don't know. I'm familiar with them and everything like that. But like, if you're playing a main stage of a
big stage,
you know what I'm saying? Like, this is not like a small, they're not playing a big festival on a small stage. They're being broadcast. They're, it's not like they're not being featured properly. So I think they're, from what I'm looking at, like, cause I tried to find out something, it seems like they just felt like they were not being appreciated or properly received by the crowd.
Do you remember this was a while ago, Oasis was bitching because yeah, they were bitching because they booked Jay-Z and all these other rappers, and they were like, yeah, fucking pissed about it. And like, this feels like by the way, Jay-Z had the funniest response.
I remember that, yeah.
He started his set off by singing
Wonderwall
very shittily, like, yeah, on purpose.
And also the crowd kind of took over on that one too. That's another. Yeah. That was a good,
but it's this thing. You see some of these rockers do, and you see people in general do this who don't want to accept what the current thing is. And it's like for a band like Royal Blood, it's like a multi-layered thing where it's like, hey, you can be as mad as you want about it, but rap is the most, rap and country are the most popular things right now. Well, at the like, I don't think there's any country at BBC Radio 1, but if you just look at numbers, country's like makes a lot of money. But in this context, I should be more locked in is like, rap is just, like, dude, that's just the reality of it. Rap's just way more fucking popular right now. And then the second stage of that is like, here's the thing about me, Pat. I know what Royal Blood sounds like. So if that's what your band, and I'm not trying to be a dickhead, but I'm just saying, you guys started talking shit first. If that's what your band sounds like, you can't bitch that no one gives a fuck about rock music, because your band sounds like the music they play when a fucking teenager in like Euphoria takes some ecstasy and they need to represent like, this is what it's like being fucked up. You guys sound like music in a fucking vodka commercial. Get off your fucking high horse and be happy you're fucking there.
I think it's like I think in general, they have this weird, because that you're saying stuff like, oh, well, country and rap are very popular. Dude, I would argue very strongly that metal, hardcore, like some of the hardest music is becoming relatively mainstream right now. So to say to an audience, you're not familiar with rock music and knowing what they sound like they would be right up, you would be right up their alley if they're, you were a band that they wanted to hear, but they didn't want to fucking hear you.
So I would push back and say, I don't think metal and hardcore is becoming mainstream, but I will say this, like Royal Blood, check out what Knock Loose did at fucking Coachella.
Right.
Like they were Knock Loose was the odd man out. They were the odd man out at Coachella. So you know what they did? They made fucking, they took those lemons and they made some fucking heavy ass lemonade, and they fucking went in and they went out dick swinging and just had a good goddamn time.
Played their show.
And people fucking loved them. That's the other part too. Like if it's all fucking rap and stuff, show the crowd why you're fucking there. Don't just fucking cry the whole time.
Right. But that's the thing is I think they're very much a mood band. And like playing during the daytime is really tough for, I think, some bands that like need to set the mood and need to have the light show with the things and the atmosphere set. And that's
maybe like,
sorry, you accepted the time slot. Like you said, like you decided to play the show. So go out there and play either play that show like you would play a sold out show, the people that were there to see you. Or like, cause I honestly, at this point, you're to act like you're not somewhat of a mainstream band. I think they probably are in a couple commercials already. I think Royal Blood is pretty popular or more mainstream as far as,
well, like, I'm not saying they're definitely mainstream. Like I'm trying to look up their Spotify. I bet you they have like crazy monthly views. My only point though, is like, they're not doing anything to make rock cool again.
Yeah. You're not saying, you're not like, it's not, and what you're doing isn't necessarily important.
Yeah, they got just shy of 4 million listens a month. So yeah,
that's good.
First off,
that's very good.
Yeah, which first
what are you
off,
bitching about?
Yeah, you fucking dickheads can probably fill a fucking like big, like medium size arena. You
these
probably just were
100 people don't know you, and you're gonna be like, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to us. Like,
yeah, well, it's funny. Yeah, dude, that's just not... Dude, that's so funny. Because you know they can fucking pack out a show, but they're just focusing. It's like, I don't know what to tell you, dude. When festival season rolls around, you're the odd man out now. It like things change.
Yeah, it's going to happen. And not to mention, I don't know if fans get paid for festivals a lot of times. I don't know how that works. Like, I would assume they would something or
that's a good question. My guess is that they get paid, but it's not like, I think they get more out of just being at the festival than they do from the paycheck. So I bet you their pay is lower. Like every band's pay is lower than we would think. Dude, if not nothing.
Like to me,
if I went out and there was a sea of people and a tenth of them were cheering for me, and not even like all together, like there was like a tenth of them spread out throughout the whole crowd, I don't give a fuck. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't give a shit. I'm going to play music on this big ass stage. And I think this goes back to your point of saying, like, I'm going to have fun playing on this big ass stage with my friend here, and we're going to play song. And also, like, all right, yeah, we're not going to play. Let's play covers tonight. Who gives a fuck? You know what I mean? Like, well, let's do whatever the fuck we want. Let's write songs.
Also, yeah, dude. And like over crying about it, it's like, well, why don't you guys do the work and show them why rock's the better genre?
This is a great, this is, I think I finally like come to the thought that I wanted to say, be an artist. Like you gotta go out there. And when, like you said, in a knock loose, lemons into lemonade scenario, they're on a festival that is not necessarily totally geared towards their genre, but they're going to fucking kick the shit out of this crowd because they're like, hey, you wanted us here. Here you go. So the same idea. But if you don't have that idea of at least that confidence to do that, and you're given this scenario where these people aren't really into it, like, then do something creative. That's your opportunity where, like, okay, nobody's watching you. Okay, nobody's watching. Do something crazy. Try something new.
That's such a good
point. Be an artist. Don't be a bitch.
Yeah, don't just, like, cry about it. Like, fucking... Well, also, too, like, I don't know, man. If there's a bunch of people into, like, rap music and stuff, I'm sure, like, every person who likes the fucking Beastie Boys also probably likes the Red Hot Chili Peppers. You know what I mean? Like, you can like multiple genres. So just look at, like, that's probably a lot of money you could fucking make, dude. I don't know. Yeah.
You could possibly turn people, but even on the brightest side, you have an opportunity to go out and be artistic in front of people. Do something experimental. Do that. Say you're a huge, like, you love noise rock. You like just noise metal or whatever, sludge. Do something crazy, dude. Like, do a municipal waste song.
That'd be sick.
That's like, why not?
Cover a fucking song from whoever the biggest rapper is on the show.
Yeah, and like do it better than them, whatever.
Yeah, you know, if you're so fucking good at it, you know what I mean?
Right. So that's what I'm saying. It's like, you have an opportunity to be an artist because you're at a fucking artist festival. Be a fucking artist, dumbass.
Yeah. Bitch. I don't know.
You go like, we'll play our songs and then you won't like us. And it's so defeatist, and it's such a bitch move. It's like a comic going up and then bombing, blaming the crowd, but then going like, why? First of all, why are you just staying up there? If you're not going to try something, if you're not going to try to turn them, you're not going to do anything else, just leave. Like you said, you just leave. You don't have to fucking be there. And then
you don't
also
have to be at the show.
Don't blame the crowd. Sometimes, sure, there's shitty people in crowds. There's shitty crowds sometimes.
But yeah.
Like, it's not this in this case. It's people that went to a music festival. You don't think they want to hear music, dumbass? Play some music and make it happen.
No, it's just, I get like, yeah, and I'll end on this. I just get tight when you see dudes. I get tight when you see dudes getting grumpy over shit that is just, and I'm not saying these guys can't have a bad day. I hate that shit as well. I hate when it's like, oh, why are you so upset? You're so rich. It's like, everyone's got the same problems. I always say this. Everyone's got the same problems. Some people just get to deal with those problems and come for your chairs. Right. You know what I mean? Like, you're even if you're a rich, super mega star, you're allowed to have a bad day. I'm not saying you can't be upset. But it's like when it's in such a public thing and you're just doing the thing that millions of musicians just dream of doing and almost the exact same amount will never get to do, to just be so grumpy about it. It's like, it's hard to not be like, yo, fuck you, dude.
Yeah. Right. I think that's a dude. That is a great way to sum it up. That really is, because you're saying like, yes, we can totally empathize with you, but we can also say like, I at least from my performer side would go like, oh, these guys aren't really into it. Let me try something different or weird for me. Like for me to like, that's the thing is like, I feel you squandered an opportunity as an artist or as a performer to have an opportunity to you get a free card. You do whatever. Nobody knows who you are. Okay. So then if you make an ass of yourself, nobody's going to know who you are.
Yeah.
So just fuck around. Who gives a shit? But you took an opportunity of stage time. And like you said, of maybe another band that wouldn't be their cup of tea, that would have loved the opportunity to fucking annoy them for an hour. That's like, there's so many opportunities as a performer artist myself, even though at a much smaller scale, that if I had the opportunity at a whatever, blah, 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 comedy festival. And I went out there and they're like, hey, ladies and gentlemen, Pat George. And I went out there and people were like, who? Like they should. And went, what the fuck is this guy? And I went, hey guys, well, anyway, my cat was walking around the other day. And then people were like, no thanks. I'm going to go like, all right, well, I'm going to try to make my friends laugh. I'm going to try to make me have a good time. You know what I mean? This is still an opportunity to
do something.
But if you don't even say that this is an opportunity to get a reaction, then you're not a fucking artist. You're just a bitch.
Take that, my Royal pen.
I wish I hadn't done that. Don't say any other band names, please.
Okay, I won't, because we're gonna wrap it up. This has been a good ass episode. We fucking got to the bottom of a lot on this one.
Come at us, Gerard.
Come on us, guys. Yeah, Royal Blood. Come on us. Wait, what did you say?
I said Gerard Way. I'm just saying we're picking all the fucking heavy hitters out there. We visualized them all, and we're like,
nah, dude. I got beef with Gerard Way. His fucking Umbrella Academy. That plot's weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you ever watch that?
No.
Dude, the plot of the show is literally like, eccentric billionaire finds all these interesting kids and buys them. And I'm like, what's this show about? Jeffrey Epstein? What the fuck's going on?
Hey, this guy over here.
Hey. Anyway, anyway, I'm 4 Celtics deep and I gotta have some din din. Let's get the heck out.
Damn.
Yeah, Pat. I like to drink seltzers. Yeah. Anyway, let's get the heck out of here. I've been Pat. He's been Andy. You all have been fucking beautiful. We will see you next time. Until then,
bye.
Listen to some music.